Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Xander and Gwen face off on Days, Carly's on to Jax on GH, will Eric learn the truth on B&B, and Amanda isn't very happy on The Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hello.
Carly Silver, welcome.
Hello.
Well, let's talk a little bit about The Bold and the Beautiful. Jillian, what did you think this last week of the Quinn and Carter storyline with Shauna and Paris circling the story? Paris now knows. And Shauna is like, Quinn, you might be in trouble.
Let me tell you something. There was this scene where Paris was about to tell Shauna that she knows when she's just like needling her. Baby, even though it wasn't that big of a scene, when she just told her, oh yeah, when she told her, I want to speak to you. I'll address Quinn later. She was like, this is what she said. She's like, yeah, I saw her leave, but I'll definitely want to speak to her next. But first I want a word with you. I was like, whoa. I was like, okay, bitch. Like, I took a notice. Like, she was just addressing. Like, she was clearing. I liked her playing around with Shauna and then just going for the jugular and was like, you're lying. I know it was your homegirl that fucked my sister's man. And I like their face-off, but these two women, Shauna and Quinn, are y'all really that stupid to think that this girl is not going to tell her sister? Thought that that was wild on that. And Finn is just, Quinn, Sin, all these names. We need new names. Quinn is just so blissfully stupid on everything. And then when Shauna told her, girl, you in danger. Like, little sis know everything.
Doesn't it seem a little bit out of character for Quinn to be blissfully stupid? Usually she's the manipulator.
Right. Right. Yes, you know, I would have thought, like, everybody is kind of out of character with all of this. I mean, from them speaking about Carter's personal life, they don't give two shits of a witch's tit about Carter's love life. Eric and Brooke and Ridge sitting around gossiping, like, you know, I told y'all, like, Pearl Shea, Gladys Kravitz and Benita Betrayal, like, oh, girl, you heard about Carter's love? Like, nobody cares. They don't care. It's just so plot-driven, and it's just beyond obvious. But I like the face-off that they had. I enjoy anything that is not the stupidity of Liam confessing. That is something I do want to ask you about, Mike. Like, what did you think about Liam confessing and he and Hope thinking, oh, it's going to be okay. He's going to be let out. And then they're like, no.
For me, Liam confessing was kind of something that was going to happen. I don't think that Liam had the strength that Bill wanted him to have by keeping a secret. But Hope turning it around to make it sound like it was all Bill's fault and not Liam have no fault at all, that is just typical brainwashing with dialogue. Because now everybody's making it look like, yeah, of course, Bill picked him up, put him in the car. But Liam had the chance to go rectify it right away, and he didn't. So he's just as guilty as far as I'm concerned.
I loved Justin pointing that point out to Hope.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, when Justin was like, well, to be fair, Liam wasn't held hostage. He right. could have gone out like, I like that. And Hope still trying to, Hope got shut down, but she's still trying to make it all Bill's fault. And I'm like, Hope, you are the epitome of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're trying to lay this at Bill's feet to assuage Liam's guilt is ridiculous. And I do want someone to point that out to her, to shame her and be like, nobody forced him. Like, I did like when Thomas was like, this smells like Bill. But when Thomas was like, he acted like a big baby, like, Liam could have said something. It was
right.
It was ridiculous.
Maybe we and should this start the with the premise that Hope is not the epitome of all right.
I mean, well, see, that's, in Thomas's eyes, she is.
In Thomas's eyes, and the way how this show has portrayed them, sexy. Steffi is the bad girl vixen that, you know, doesn't mind to be quote unquote walking on the wild side doing some bad things. Hope is the purest, tried and true. Everything is right. Everything that needs to be right is right. Everything is wrong to be wrong. So for her to just like leapfrog over that Liam was not held at gunpoint and try to blame this all on Bill, I'm like, girl, like, enough.
And again, there's dialogue that's forgotten. Hope never really had a reflection of a moment where Liam said that he would kill Vinny. So she should have had some sort of struggle that maybe Liam did it on purpose, even though we ever going to really know why Vinny was walking in the middle of the road in the dark. I don't
know. They said it's a twist coming. They said it's a twist. Chubby Checker said they a lie.
Carly, what did you think of B&B this last week?
I have some sinking feeling. This is no spoilers, but I have some feeling that like somehow Vinny is like Liam is going to be cleared, that somehow maybe somebody else hit Vinny first and it wasn't. There's going to be some like loophole that's going to get him out, just because that seems the way the writing on B&B tends to go. I thought that Paris and Shauna confrontation was good. I always really like Paris, but the outfits in the scene, it was like the garish and the gaudy instead of the bold and the beautiful. It was just like neon everywhere. It was a little bit taken aback by sort of the bright, bright colors.
I liked the confrontation too, because I think Denise Richards really holds her own on this show. And when Zoe walked in and Paris was there, she was about to go out the door and she turned around and shot like this double like daggers at her. I was like,
you think she holds her own? Okay.
I like
we're watching different soaps.
With Paris's character. It's okay. I think it's in keeping with, because we've seen Zoe be really like disloyal and awful to Paris, except when like she wants to be on Paris's good side. But Paris has always been really like loyal to her sister regardless. Yes. Exactly. And so I think it's really in keeping of Paris. At first I was sort of wondering like why Paris doesn't owe her shit after everything. But I'm like, no, that's actually who she is. She will go to the mat for her sister because she cares. She will use her smarts for good.
She's also a truthful person. So yes. Even if it's at her sister's expense, she's going to expose. So I'm like, why are you dumb? Like, and Quinn being Paris's friend for 2 minutes Zoe's friend for 2 minutes should have known this. But the clothes, let me just say this. I smell, this seems like another scheme by this show, because it's just words. I keep trying to tell people, words mean things. When they interviewed Annika Noel a few weeks ago for TV Insider, they brought up the gowns, the beautiful gowns. People, real ones, catch that reference.
Beautiful gowns.
Yes, you catch it. So they asked her about the outfits, and she did not, let's just preface this, she did not dog them out, but it's just what she said and what she did not say that made me say, okay, this is another scheme, like the dolls and talk soup. When she said, oh, yes, they are making headlines. They are catching a lot of buzz. There's a lot of talk. I'm like, oh, God, the talk. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, the young lady that plays Paris, I must say the dress that she confronted Denise in, it was very colorful, but it was gorgeous. I liked it on her because Paris has that funky, quirky appeal with the haircut and the gorgeous colors across her melon skin. Gorgeous. I thought, yes. When they scroll down to her feet and them yellow boot stocking shoes, I was like, why? That was the only thing. I was like, she could have had a nice, like, sandal on, strappy sandal, some stilettos, like a pop of color with stilettos. Those stocking boots are not it's just not it, sis. Like, I need them to stop. Sorry, go ahead.
Let's talk a little bit about The Young and the Restless. Mike, you were gone last time. What are you thinking of the Kyle and Ashlyn story?
Okay. What I'm trying to figure out is Ashlyn as bad as his reputation?
No.
I think the whole thing with Kyle really hinges on Tara more than it hinges on Kyle and Ashlyn. I think that Tara is not as, I think she's a lot smarter than we're being led to believe. And I think that,
really?
As time goes by, I'm hoping that they kind of develop her a little bit
Let
more.
Let me ask you this. Is this another one of those situations where you're reading stuff into the scripts that does not exist?
Sometimes it's watching facial expressions or how somebody plays a scene more than it is the
dialogue.
Or they
could just be a bad actor.
Oh, Jesus, Luke Kerr. The rudeness out of you.
My feeling is that she comes off as somebody who was emotionally or verbally abused and is afraid of Ashlyn more than she loves him. But now that she's free of him, maybe she's, you know, maybe Ashlyn couldn't have a kid and he's known all along that she cheated. But we don't know yet. I mean, nothing's happening. He's already
I feel like you are making up headcanon for this character that is way more interesting than anything we will ever get on screen.
I will say this about the young lady.
It's too soon. I mean, I feel like
there has been virtually no drama in this storyline because everything has either been ploddingly slow or suddenly rushed.
They rush the things that need to be slow and they slow on the things that need to be picked up a bit. The fact that Ashlyn and Tara are divorced, that was like 3 weeks ago when she busted into that engagement party, and there's been nothing happening since. Ashlyn's been in and out of Genoa City. I don't know. It's just, I'm confused by the whole thing, to be honest. I'm trying to find the fire. Like, I don't see any fire between Kyle and Tara.
There's no fire between Tara and anybody.
They need to replace her. I'm just going to be real. I'm sorry. She may be a nice woman. She may bring them all donuts. She may not park in people's parking spots like previous people. Fine. But she is just, I've tried to give her time. She's just like,
they would have been better to kill off the character and have this be a Ashlyn versus Kyle court battle.
I don't know about all that.
I don't mind the love triangle angle, but I completely agree with Jillian.
Calm down. Yeah, I get what she's saying. They're trying to make this a summer Kyle Tara thing, and it's not. Like, I don't see it because I'm just sitting here and I'm just like, okay, we get that she's a young wife that is married to a powerful, you know, a powerful, no business, like bone crusher businessman. But I don't see where how her and Kyle got together, because based off of Kyle's, this is based off of Kyle's background. Kyle was a party boy, playboy in New York. Shut up, Luke. I don't get the vibe like them meeting somewhere and them having this hot torrid affair. I don't see any, like, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, Summer, you do not have anything to worry about because she is not giving what she was supposed to have gave. Okay. Like, she's just not, it's not happening.
I don't get Wild Hampton's affair from her.
Let's talk about Kyle for a second. When Kyle was introduced, he was introduced as a dynamic character, but did we ever really think that he was like a bad boy playboy?
Yes.
Like,
I did.
He was more like a spoiled, wealthy, preppy boy.
That's what you think about all of them. Let's just keep it real. I got from Kyle when he came to town, I got that he was a little bit bad boy as in playboy. I don't mean bad boy as in he will fight you in the streets. I got bad boy like, I'm going to take your woman and then go to lunch next week with your mama. I got that from Kyle, and we got that vibe when he and Hillary were scheming together when Michelle Morgan was playing Hillary. Then we got that vibe from him, plain and simple. And then now Kyle acts like, you know, Summer, I'm gonna marry you and put some beans in that oven.
They are doing the same thing to the young adults on The Young and the Restless that they've done on The Bold and the Beautiful, which is make them wholly uninteresting, void of any actual chemistry, and have basically made them unwatchable.
I won't go that far. Like, you jumping out of a plane without a parachute with that. So we saw that Summer it was what, under Mao Yong's regime, we saw that Tamar, that's why I gave her the name the Tartlet. We saw that Summer can be raunchy and go for the jugular. We saw that Kyle was a playboy hoe. We don't get that anymore with under Josh, which is more CBS, I feel, than because, I mean, look at Bold. I feel,
well,
as though,
I feel like, okay, Kyle and Summer are indistinguishable from Liam and Steffi. Like,
I don't know. No,
Steffi back in the day was a very dynamic character who you actually cared about and were interested in. Liam, when he first came on as Scott Clifton, was a very engaging character, and the only
who
thing
else
that saved
came on as Liam.
Well, what I'm saying is when he was introduced, Scott Clifton has always been so engaging that it's easy to overlook how crappy the storylines are sometimes. But I feel like Summer and Kyle are really no different than Liam and Steffi now.
I wouldn't say that. I would say with Steffi, she's grown up. She has kids now. She said she's looked at her life and she's kind of grown up. With Summer and Kyle, they're trying to make them this. They're trying to make them the center couple of their show. And they're trying to make them this. All, you know, after all, what's the name? That's some Peter Cetera song that Jamie used to sing, After All the Starts and Stops. That's what they're trying to make them with that. We're going into the weeds, but I just don't feel it with that. And I don't feel it with Tara. They need to replace the young lady, and Sally doing all of this because of a job. The money shot, I've said on Twitter, would have been for Sally to have. Either somebody said this part on Twitter. They said Sally should go after Nick. That way she can stick it to Summer and Phyllis. And I'm like, ooh, yes. Mm-hmm. The money shot would be for Sally to have found out that Summer screwed Billy and to reveal that at some shareholders meeting or some event, like her engagement party or her upcoming nuptials, that she screwed Billy. I mean, I know nobody would really care, but if you think about it, Victor has been at war with Billy. This would make Victor flip his shit. This would make Victoria flip her shit. And this would make Nick want to beat that boy into the sand. Because Nick has, you've seen the little comments that Nick have said about Kyle. And for him to find out that Phyllis knew and didn't say anything, that would bust everything up.
Carly, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Jillian. I think that the woman who plays Tara is too meek, when I would rather see somebody bring the schemer out of Summer by going toe-to-toe and for her over Kyle. I think that they've been, both Summer and Kyle could be written as sort of more dynamic, engaging characters, but they've sort of been whitewashed to be sort of the young marrieds when we need them to be the young, engaging, whatever, you know, they can be endgame without having to be happily ever after right now. And I think that, you know, that type of chemistry and intrigue should really be explored rather than having, okay, well, they're going to get married again. And like, but the so what factor isn't there. I don't know why I should care about them getting married again when the only stake in their way is this woman that's, you know, not that interesting.
What do you think of Amanda's storyline?
Anything that puts Michelle Morgan on my screen again, I am happy. I will admit that I'm a little confused sort of by the minutiae of the storyline, because I'm struggling a bit to sometimes follow the twists and turns, because they'll be on one day and then there'll be a couple days worth, and then I'm trying to remember where Sutton, you know, where what he's been up to and what Imani's been up to, and trying to keep track, because I don't think that I like that Victor has been threaded into, maybe he did something with Amanda's father. I would like to see more of Genoa City threaded into the storyline, whether it's friendships, relationships, whatever. We're getting a bit of that with, they're teasing Imani and Nate, which I think they could be a wonderful couple. I just think I would like to see whether it's Amanda venting to Phyllis because they were friends for Amanda and Hillary were, Hillary and Phyllis were best friends, and there was a little bit of an Amanda-Phyllis friendship, or whether it's, you know, Amanda hooking up or Amanda talking to someone besides Devon about it. I'd like to see this story really brought more to bear on Genoa City, or raise the stakes beyond just the, you know, the Benedict family, and saying, okay, what could this mean for Newman Enterprises and the Newman family?
Well, you're about to get your wish. You're about to get your wish because Friday's episode, you had Amanda reading them, and Sutton got, he was like, Sutton was getting tight with her. And then Victor sees him and he's like, Sutton Ames. And the man who plays Sutton checked Victor. And you know, again, you know, we know we love us some EB, but EB don't let that go like that. And he took that on the chin. I was like, oh, shit. And you had him call Amanda and was like, I want to know your relation with Sutton Ames. And she's just like, bitch, what? And Michelle Morgan did an interview with Digest where she doesn't really talk much about the storyline. She talks about her cornea. And she said one of the people that reached out to her that she was so shocked about reaching out was who? Eric Braeden. And Eric Braeden was like, look, your job is good. We got you. And, you know, we can't wait for you to get back. Just take care of yourself. We're here for you. And I'm like, look at Eric. You know,
there's
Eric,
a storyline. Really... Victor and Amanda.
Okay, no. Sit yourself down before I make change out of you. That's not going to happen. Not while I have breath in my body. That's not
to
know.
I did want to follow up because last week you were talking about how you thought that they should make Ray more like Jordy Villasuso's character on Days of Our Lives. Do you think
what was Dario? Yeah,
Dario. So what did you think this last week about the Ray and Adam storyline?
I just answered your question. No, they didn't even no. Like we saw Ray. Ooh, wow. I just need for Ray to be out of that bubble. Like Carly talks about wanting them to thread everything. I feel as though we're going to get that. I feel as though Ray needs to get a little bit more buck. I didn't see that. Y&R's just become very wholesome. They all, don't you talk to me that way. Don't you talk to me that way. Stay away. It's just not the show that, you know, Ray would have found a way to like mess with Adam, to let Adam know, look, I am a cop, but I'm also a person who puts their badge down at the end of the day, and I'll beat your ass if you keep messing with me and Sharon. Like, where it's just boring. I'm just not here for it. I did not like when I heard that they were going to like have Adam back in Sharon's orbit and vice versa. I was like, I was skeptical, and I see why, because it's just not, there's no oomph. It's boring. And Nick acting like the Greek chorus and sit and talk like Nick is like, you see, Sharon is torn between the two. Nick now is torn between the two. I'm like, oh God, it's just, I'm not here for it. Like,
well, something that I was not here for when I heard the news was the fact that Precious Way is exiting the role of Chanel on Days of Our Lives. She's going to be, she's going to be replaced by Raven Bowens. But the thing about this recasting, I don't know the details behind it, but Precious Way has been such an engaging actress in the role. Even before Paulina arrived, she was so much fun to watch. I'm like, oh, this is, she hasn't been here very, like, she's been here long enough for everybody to fall in love with her, but she's leaving so quickly that it's like, oof, this is not a good thing for the character itself.
You don't know that. We don't know that. I mean, the young lady, Raven Bowens hasn't even aired yet. Like, give her a chance. Damn.
I'm not saying anything about the new one. I'm saying from the standpoint of this character, she's been on the show, what, 6-9 months,
yes,
somewhere in there?
Excuse me. You said you talked about the character. You're acting as though as soon as this young lady comes on, the character's going to be a different way. We don't know yet. Like, you know, go with God, Precious Way. Maybe she got something. Who knows? I do know she's doing some show. Carly, I mentioned it earlier before we started. She's doing some show at MC Light. That's supposed to, like, I guess the second season or so is in November, so maybe they wanted her more, who knows. But I'm just gonna wait to see. You act as though they're gonna deviate from what the character is, and we just have to wait and see. I've seen the young lady who's played her, who's going to play her, Raven Bowens. I watched the New Edition story. I watched her on All Rise. She's pretty good, so I'm just gonna wait and see about the situation. So.
And who knows? Maybe it's entirely possible that we'll have a Lily Winters situation where people like both Crystal Khalil and Davetta Sherwood. Carly, what did you think of Chanel's and Paulina's storyline this last week? Chanel discovered her mom has a secret and Paulina's trying to keep it under wraps.
I love it. I've really enjoyed Paulina's business storylines with supposedly revitalizing the Horton Town Square, Horton Square, which is the town center. But I remember right before she left Salem briefly, Paulina whispered something to the babies that, oh, I've got a secret, or I'll be back. And I've been waiting to find out what it is. And we know that, I guess, there's going to be a tower of some sort. And I'm really curious to find out what exactly the business is that she's going to be building, maybe instead of this. The only thing is that I hope it doesn't make like Julie and everyone get self-righteous towards Paulina, which we know Julie very well might. But I think that, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, it's something, you know, because everyone in Salem has done stuff that is probably far worse than whatever it is.
I know Julie can't say nothing to her.
No, I know, but you know Julie can't resist an opportunity to preach.
And
so
you
I'm
know,
especially that if Paulina will shut her
especially
down.
Especially if there's going to be some kind of something done to Horton Square, which is in honor of her family, she's going to have something to say.
Listen, she's saying Paulina is giving me Black Bill Spencer vibes.
Oh,
she
yeah.
She is, and I love it. I love it, but too. But see, she's unlike Bill. She will, like check you about your privilege and stuff. Bill is just like whatever, but I'm just loving the vibes here, like the tower. I was like, at first I'm like, tower, are they gonna do some medieval tower? Then I'm like, oh, they mean tower. And I'm like, you never know with Horton Square. So I'm like, oh, they mean this tower. I'm like, I like it, because I guess they're trying to give that Main Street vibe, and she's like, bitch, I'm giving the Wall Street vibe. I love it.
Mike, I know you loved Xander and Sarah, but Xander and Gwen this last week, I love a good bad boy meets a scheming girl, and neither of them like each other, but sort of end up falling for each other. It looks like that might be where this is headed. What do you think?
I think that I like it as well. As long as Lindsay Godfrey's not on screen, they have to do something with Xander. They've been bouncing him around all drunk and bouncing into, you know, he's had run-ins with a lot of the females on the show. And I think I'm intrigued by the interaction with him and Gwen, and the fact that, you know, he's just flopped out on the couch half naked. And
there was a lot of half naked men this last week.
You know, you from upstate New York, you said naked, like you from the South. My butt has been influencing you. I love it.
So, yeah. So of course that is always fun, but yeah, no, the interaction with him and Gwen is great. And I like that he defended her because she's Jack's daughter. And I'm intrigued with this doctor too. I'm not going to lie. He's given Tripp a little bit of a hard time, and you know, he's got some secrets of his own.
I'm scared to say this because it's a very high benchmark, at least in my opinion. He's giving me very early David Hayward vibes. When David Hayward first was introduced on All My Children,
benchmark.
When he was first introduced on All My Children, the way they worked him in and with his devious plotting and things was more subtle. And like, this isn't like he's a big over the top mustache twirling villain, but he's definitely a bad guy, and they're doing it well. So I'm like, maybe we could end up having in a few years, if he sticks around, maybe we could have the equivalent of a David Hayward on.
Well, I mean, Ron's
and he's just
with him.
He's just walked into situations that are going to benefit him.
And Ron's
he didn't plan them. So
Ron's worked with him before.
Yeah.
Ron works with him well, so he knows, you know, if you know, he knows how to take the material. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't think it's going to be mustache twirling unless it calls for it from a director standpoint. I think he's going to do what the material says to do.
Carly, who do you think is supplying the drugs? Who do you think is getting the drugs?
I wonder if it's some master villain off screen that they're bringing back, or maybe it's EJ that, you know, he's maybe going to appear all nice and, you know,
that ain't EJ
on the good side. Or I don't know. I'm saying maybe he's somehow back in the in the drug. I genuinely don't know. I've been trying.
No,
to
you said EJ being nice. I'm like, that ain't EJ.
No. Yeah. I'm saying maybe he's going to put on like a front, like he's changed for Sammy, but maybe he's, because we've seen 2 seconds of him. I have no idea. I've been speculating and I genuinely don't know. I think it's interesting. I like the Dr. Snyder very much. I think Michael Lowry is very charming. I liked him a lot on One Life to Live. I liked him on All My Children. I'm curious to see where this goes. And I'm also curious to see who they might pair him with, if he hopefully will stick around long enough for a romantic storyline. I'm also liking Xander and Gwen. I can't remember who said it, but they've been chem testing Xander with just about everybody. I like the idea of him and Chanel together, but obviously decided not to go that route. So I like the idea of sort of bad meets bad, and maybe they will find some gruesome unexpected passion. Yeah, gruesome twosome. I like that idea. I think that anything that allows Gwen to sort of keep her claws rather than having them neutralized and her made into like a good girl or sort of, you know, I really like that idea that, you know, she can still be a bit of a villainess, hopefully. And they hopefully don't have to give her an insta baby.
What I find interesting about that is, even though she's a villain, they've given her the right amount of vulnerability. And Emily O'Brien portrays that vulnerability perfectly when necessary. They haven't made her completely one-dimensional villain. They've actually made her and her insecurities part of the reason why she is a villain, and she automatically goes to those insecurities out of instinct. But then every once in a while, you'll see this glimmer where she's actually trying to be a little bit better, even though it's momentary. And I really appreciate how they do that, because they've also sort of done that with Xander. The thing about Xander is that when he was with Sarah, I felt like they were doing it, like Sarah was such a good girl that he was getting a little bit too good. But now that she's gone, Xander is sort of back to being his roguish, rakish self with moments of good, like what he was doing when he was trying to find out what was going on with Gwen. And I like that they're reasserting that for Xander, and I like how they're playing it out for Gwen.
I was just going to mention, because it tied into EJ, listen, y'all know I am not a Lumi fan. I am not. I will not. Not. However, I have to give credit where credit's due. Those scenes between Sweeney and Datilo, I was like, okay, I can see why y'all root for them. When he was like letting Sammy know, we have been best friends since we were kids. I'm like, not really, but okay. I get where y'all are going. Y'all were not kids, whatever. And when he told her that you're only going after Nicole because the guilt is eating you away, and I'm here, like, I, you know, I'm here in the present, and was just spitting game. I was like, ooh, Lucas.
I know, and EJ's, and they've built this side of the triangle while EJ is gone. And now Sammy has this conflict, and in walks EJ, and it's like instant triangle.
Yes.
With the magic, it all works.
And the great thing about it is because Brian Dottillo and Allison Sweeney have been associated with Days for so long, they have all of the flashbacks. Watching the Lumi flashbacks is like watching Nick and Sharon on The Young and the Restless. And it
Which
is
Nick
wonderful.
Which Nick and Sharon, because we had mad Sharon. I'm like,
well, I know, but Sharon Case has been on The Young and the Restless long enough where you still have her and Joshua Morrow as young individuals for flashbacks, and it's wonderful.
But it was good stuff. Like, you know, we're gonna give this cat a chance. I've seen, you know, again, I used to say I saw Wes Ramsey's on CSI Miami, and then look how that turned out. So I saw this guy on Spartacus, so we'll just see.
Big shoes to
Let's
fill.
Talk about Wes Ramsey. We talked about
doing an appreciation podcast, but go ahead.
We talked about him last week. Soap Opera Digest had a report that Wes Ramsey's last appearance was on June 3 when Peter was killed off. Last week we had a discussion about whether or not Peter was dead, and I was convinced that Peter was dead. There was some discussion, debate as to what it would be and how it'd fall out, but I don't think any of us in that discussion believed that Wes Ramsey was leaving Soap Opera was leaving General Hospital.
Going
around the circle real quick, even though we have this report, do any of you, I'm going to just do yes or no, going around to all three of you, believe that Wes Ramsey is gone. Jillian.
No, I'm answering for the whole room. No.
Mike.
Carly.
No, I wish the character was gone, but no.
Mike.
I agree. No, he's not going anywhere. My theory is that Anna or Finola Hughes' vacation time is coming up, and my theory is that she's just going to go off and look for him. So
that and the time, like, I don't think, you know, with the timing of Kirsten Storms having the surgery, also her surgery, this all ties in, you know, this just me. That all ties into that. I feel as though they're going to snatch Maxie up, and we're going to see Peter, and we're going to see Breathless Mahoney. Hello, Maxie. Get out of here. Like,
well,
no.
And not only that, but in Deadline's reporting on it, Deadline worded it very interesting, which was arch-villain Peter August, played by Wes Ramsey, is officially gone. Is it Wes Ramsey that's actually gone, or is it just Peter? Because we literally just had Roger Howarth return in the fourth incarnation of a character, or third or fourth.
I feel as though we're getting a Roger Michael
Easton. Oh, absolutely.
We're getting a Roger Michael Easton, or GH may just shock the shit out of... No, they won't. But I was going to say, we may be stunned, psych, that... You know, Peter does pop up somewhere and was like, psych, I'm back, kids. Like, no.
See,
I don't
know. The way I look at this is, I'm going to believe this. It's going to take me as long to believe that Wes Ramsey is gone from General Hospital as Wes Ramsey has been on General Hospital. And that long time period is, what, 3-4 years? So until we're 4 years past June 3rd, then I will believe that he's gone.
No.
Let's talk a little bit about the rest of General Hospital. There was some very interesting stuff. Jillian, you were very interested in the Carly and Jax dynamic, him blackmailing Michael and Carly being all over it, knowing something was up.
Let me tell you something. You know, Carly, I do not this again. Let me preface, because you know some people are slowful. I think Laura Wright is a damn good actress. She's one of the baddest, and I told y'all the smartest in the game. I have never liked Carly from Sarah Brown all to now. That's still in my pathos. But I will say this. One thing about Carly, she know her chillin'. She knows her passel of chids. And she knows that Michael did not allow Nina access early, like, evenly like that. And she knows Jax is up to something. And she is leaning into that mob role, that mob head of the mob role, when she is just like, if I find out what you did, you're gonna pay. And Jax is just looking at her like, what the fuck, girl? Like, you are like too entrenched in this mob thing. And Carly is like, I don't care. Like, she knows that Jax did something, and she knows it's because Jax want to get Nina panties again. I like the fact that Carly isn't dumb enough to think that Michael was just altruistic and said, okay, like, that's one thread way they keep in there. But I like her going after Jax. And I'm just like, Jax is doing all of this. And Nina is like totally moved on. And then
that she has? Because watching it, I've never been a fan of the character of Nina. But watching her with Sunny... Even though,
causes, girl.
Well, I'm trying to formulate how I'm going to say this, because it's probably going to come out wrong. I don't know that she's moved on from Jax. I think her revenge plot just became more of a thing where she's getting to know Sunny as a person and likes him as a person. But I'm not convinced that she's moved on. I think she's starting to regret some of her decisions.
Well, I'm not even convinced this is a revenge plot.
At this point, I don't think it is either. Lord. Like, I think it started out for her. I think it started out that way, but I don't think it's that way anymore.
I think Nina tried to do the right thing, but as everybody has said, from Jason on to Sunny, on to Bobby, on to Luke, on to anybody, they've told Carly, you are your own worst enemy. When people are trying to help you, silly ass, you shoot your mouth off and you shoot your foot off too. And that's what Nina tried to do. And I feel as though Nina is starting to fall for Sunny. I think she is. I feel as though her little tete-a-tete with Jax, it just hurt because this is someone who I let into my life, who knew that I was trying to find my child after all the shit that Valentin did to me regarding finding said child. you knew that this child was mine and you kept quiet. I feel as though she's like, Jax was a rebound, in my opinion. Let's just be real. Because you saw when Nina came to the Qs and she saw BLQ Jr., a.k.a. Luis, she was gutted when she was just like, who is that? Like, why are you have Brooklyn's baby? Why are you living here? Like, she was gutted that Valentin has a child and is with Brooklyn. Or, well, not with Brooklyn, but is playing house in the Q mansion. She was gutted with that. I don't think she gives, like, think she cares for Jax, but not to the extent of Valentin. And then I'm like, Nina, girl, they warned you telling Wiley stuff. You went and told Wiley that Sonny is alive. Like, I feel as though that's going to come back and bite her in the ass.
Well, not only that, but if it doesn't bite it from through Wiley, I mean, there's young children with infant monitors all over the Quartermain mansion who, I mean,
Brooklyn, they live in the gatehouse, so they can't hear it.
Well,
nope.
When Nina originally showed up, she was at the Quartermain mansion.
Right.
What I'm saying,
she went to the gatehouse. You're trying to.
I'm not talking about. Mm. I'm not talking about the specific scene that you're referring to. What I'm saying is, if she's going to be loose-lipped and spending a lot of time around the Quartermains, there's the potential for that to really come back and bite her.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about her telling Wiley, since the whole problem why she could not see Wiley is because she has loose lips. And Wiley told them, hey, this wallpaper Willow girl is not my mama. She says some chick named Nell is. And that's why this whole thing started. That was the premise. Like, you doing going into something different.
Carly, what do you think of the Finn and Chase storyline?
Oh, God. I think there's some great emoting on Michael Easton's behalf. I don't really care other than that. I don't care that it's pushing Michael and Willow apart. It's like bland and blander in terms of the portrayal. I don't like that Willow is torn. I just don't care. I thought Willow and Chase were cute together, but I don't think they're enough to inspire a great love. I don't think Michael and Willow have enough chemistry to spark anything. I'm like, okay, let me know when this is over and I'll go back.
See, what I found was so interesting about General Hospital this last week is because 2 weeks ago on last week's podcast, like, General Hospital was on fire. You had all this different stuff going on. And then this week there was so much Willow and Michael, Willow and Chase, Sasha and Brando, that by time it was all done, I was like, God damn, what happened? It was like, well, you're going along a racetrack at 90 miles or how many ever miles an hour, and then you get a flat tire the following week. And last week for me felt like a flat tire.
Okay, I will defend them with this since they don't think I defend them. I feel as though while we had the excitement of Peter versus everyone, and then, you know, Bundles and Laura and Curtis, you also missed out on these little points. So everybody else was front burner, and now they're giving them a rest because it was so much. And then this is what we have because they were cooled, so to speak. But this Willow Chase thing is just, it just reeks of, you guys got mad at me and Sasha for getting custody of helping you get custody of Wiley by lying, but you guys did this to me. It's that. And I don't understand why I feel as though this is like, this may be like a network note, like soaps all around, because I'm like, well, except for Days. Days said, fuck that. But these milquetoast couples are like supposed to be the end all, that bees all on soaps. Like, Willow and Michael are boring. They are like driftwood. I call the girl wallpaper. I see on Twitter, y'all are so mean on Twitter. They call them mildew. I'm like, shut up.
Oh, that is awesome.
I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Shout out to Wubs. Like, when I saw Wubs say it, I'm like, who the fuck is she calling? I'm like, oh, she's calling them mildew. And I'm like, it fits. We're not here for them. They are boring.
I think that the Chase being poisoned has been dragged out way too long. I feel like, you know, I missed a week when I was on vacation, and I feel like I didn't miss anything.
You didn't. Not on that storyline front.
Chase being in the Quartermain house had potential, but I think he was there for what, a day, and then they took him back to the hospital. Isn't doing Josh Swickard any favors, to be honest.
No.
The other problem is
him and Willow are the ones that have the chemistry. They haven't really developed this triangle enough to be worthy of a Willow torn between two men, because both men are good. So there's no plotting or scheming. And Willow should just really... Willow's going to be a nurse, for God's sake. She should be able to tell the guy the truth.
Let's also talk about the fact that Jax, who was once a corporate raider, who you actually thought had some power and influence, has been relegated to a two-bit blackmailer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where you have Willow and Sasha, who are bland. Michael and Chase don't have chemistry really with either of them, in my opinion.
Just with each other.
Right. So they could all go. Jax, who at one time was a worthy rival for Carly's interest opposite of Sunny, because you had the corporate raider versus the mobster, is now the Greek chorus and a two-bit blackmailer.
His trip to visit Nina resulted in nothing.
Right.
I mean, he went down there and she got him out before he saw Sunny. So it was a completely pointless trip, and it would have been the best thing for him to know that Sunny was there.
The best thing about Sasha is the fact that her baby daddy's mama is going to give her hell. When you say that about a character, it's not even the character that's good. It's the fact that the evil mother-in-law, quote unquote, is going to make her interesting. That's a sad thing to say.
I have a question, and this is just really a story point for me. I thought Michael and Nina had come to some understanding that he would review and think about letting her back into Wiley's life. So Michael being blackmailed didn't make sense to me, because Jax already knows that Michael said that he would talk to Willow about it. So I guess when I saw that hard line of, like, you do this or I'm going to tell you're having sex with your ex-wife or your wife, who you still haven't divorced yet. I don't know. But where I was a little confused.
Fly the plane, girl. That is.
Landed.
Michael was going to review it, but he still didn't give. He's reviewed it, yes, but he still hasn't. He said he was going to review, but that's it. He still hasn't given any indication when he would let Nina see this child. So I see Jax just speeding up the process. I had no problem with that. Here's my thing with this Jax situation. And I've said this to several people, and I'm going to say it here. The Jax that I know, when Valentine stole ELQ, the Jax that I know would have teamed up with the Quartermains to get a ELQ back. The Jax that I know is best friends with Ned.
Yep.
He hasn't said shit to Ned about this, or even tried to warn Ned and say, yo, your daughter is involved with Valentine Cassadine. You need to be careful. Look what he's done to Ned. He has not said anything. The Jax that I know was also in love with Lois Cirillo at one point. People forget that. The Jax that I know would have pulled Brooklyn to the side and said, what are you doing? What does your mother think of this? I'm sad to say this, but if Sunny was around, Sunny would be like, Sunny would have been like, you lost your damn mind. None of that is playing out. All Jax seems to do is be up in Jocelyn and her little friend's business and is Carly's soundboard. So
Jax is no better than Gina Romolotti on The Young and the Restless at this point.
Pretty much.
That's what Jax has become. And here's the thing. It's almost as if Dan and Chris and Dan, ignore the late 90s, early 2000s in General Hospital history. Because the same things that are being written out of character for Jax is the issues that I have with Alexis and Nick. And I've been railing on the fact that Alexis and Nick did not have a proper relationship for a year and a half. And just now, they're finally starting to take note of the fact that these two had an amazing connection at some point, and they're trying to weave it in. But the exact same thing, Ned and Alexis were the Quartermain and Cassadine gatekeepers. Jax was their best friend. They all had each other's backs. And the fact that Jax is
none
doing,
of it being utilized.
Right. It is like Dan and Chris. Chris and Dan are ignoring a great chunk of history in the early 2000s where there were some really good things that happened amongst the characters. And it frustrates me.
Maybe they've written it in and somebody has edited out. Who knows? Maybe Frank is like, we're not going that route. But things are a little glaring for me that I'm just like, this is the math ain't mathing for me. It's just not adding up for me with certain things. Like, I really thought, because Jax and Valentine were vying for Nina's affection, I really thought we would have seen Jax jump into corporate raider mode. And I was talking to Xander Dash, and he was like, but then I was like, boy, this is what you're going to pull out. He was like, he remembered that Jax and Tracy had teamed up to take ELQ. And in the aftermath, Tracy was banished, as usual, and one of their stipulations was Jax could not be a part of ELQ. But I'm like, when did that happen? And he was like, right before she went to the city. I'm like, you see what you said, the city. Because Jax has been dipping and dabbling with ELQ this. He's been dipping and dabbling with ELQ after that. So I said, that's completely been obsolete because Tracy is involved in ELQ shit. But my thing is, Jax, the moment that Jax found out that Valentine went after ELQ, he should have been involved somehow. Nothing at all. I thought for sure this would have been, Jax would have been like, okay, he's in my koi pond now, you know, because the corporate world is Jax's world. I thought Jax would have been like, okay, bitch, you in my world. I'm going to crush you and show Nina that I'm better, that I'm the man you're supposed to be with. Nothing.
As we wrap this up, I'm going to go around the circle. We posted a poll on daytimeconfidential.com. I'll link it in the post. Roger Howarth is been on screen as Austin now. We put up a poll regarding who we'd like to see Austin with. So far, no surprise. Liz is winning. Maxie is coming in second. And Felix,
ooh, let me vote.
And Felix is coming in third. So I'm going to go around the circle real quick. Who would you guys like to see Austin paired with? Carly, you first.
Blair Kramer. No, I'm teasing. I don't know.
Hang up on her. Yeah.
I want to see who. I genuinely don't know. I think it depends whether he turns out to be a good guy or a bad guy. So far, he seems nice, but we have no clue. So I think that I'll reserve my judgment till I chem test him with enough people.
That is not an answer for a podcast.
No, you pulling a curve, girl, Luke. This is
I only get to pull that kind of stuff because I'm the host.
Fine.
No, you don't. We just allow it because we don't want to hear you, bitch. That ain't true. But
Felix, okay, good. Mike, who do you want to see him with?
That's a tough question because I kind of agree with Carly. I haven't seen enough of him to know who he can interact with, but I like the idea of him potentially being pansexual, bisexual character. And I also like the idea that potentially he could be a homewrecker. I mean, what if he went out between Kevin and Laura? Or, you know, maybe he's going to be break up Nicholas and Ava. I kind of like the idea of him with Felix, but Felix isn't on enough. You know, and Ryan, what's his name? What's the brother?
Lucas.
No, Wiley. Mike too.
Jeez, I can't think of his name. Ryan Cards played. Lucas. Yeah, Lucas hasn't been around, so there's not even really good development of a gay storyline. But what's that other dude's name? The one that's in
Mike,
prison.
No, Mike, pick one. Shit.
Mike, you do not get to pull a Luke as Carly attempted.
I have a four-way tie.
No. You definitely trying to pull a car. No,
Jillian.
I would say Felix. That would be more fun for me.
Shit, the two of y'all know y'all assignment, and y'all didn't do what y'all was supposed to do.
I'm Simon. They're trying to be Garfunkel. Jillian, who do you pick?
I actually want to see where it would go with he and Maxie because they had that quirky little chemistry in the woods, and when he came in there, you know, of course we don't know anything about him yet, but I'm like, we all know who he's supposed to be. We won't spoil for those who are spoiler free. The chemistry that he has with Kirsten Storms is just undeniable for me. So I would like to see how that plays out. So then when Wes Ramsey's shockingly wink, wink, nudge, nudge is back, we see how Peter Hamburger Heinrich, whoever he comes back in is incarnate, how does he feel about Maxie moving on to someone else? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that seems like the most logical choice.
That would be dope. Yeah.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bo. Mike is at MPJ24. And Carly is at Carly A. Silver. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
So long.
Goodbye.